Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know what's waiting on me in the future. I just don't know. I don't know what I'll be doing 10 years from now. I just don't know. But I believe that I'll be singing or teaching God's holy word. Oh, it's in my heart. Dark and weary, I can't hardly find my way. Sometimes my burdens get so heavy that I can't stop having sleepless nights and lonely days. But I believe if I keep holding on, God is gonna comfort me and keep me strong, 'cause it's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is.
Serve the Lord.
It's way down on the inside.
It's in my heart.
Oh, Lord.
Serve the Lord.
God planted His love.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is.
Serve the Lord.
He put it down in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Come on, baby.
The Lord.
Now, I've been singing for a long time. I'm not gonna give up. Said I got a made up mind. Yeah, I've been lied on, mistreated by my so-called friends. But if I had another chance, I'd do it all again. It's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Oh yeah. Got it down in my heart. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute.
It's in my heart.
Father.
It's in my heart.
Father.
It's in my heart.
I just want you to know I'm not doing this for shape, form, or fashion. I just want you to know it's down in my heart. The reason I'm here tonight, 'cause it's in my heart. And I want you to know, I want you to know, Mama and Daddy, when I was a little boy, Mama and Daddy raised us up in the church. They didn't send us to Texas, they took us to church. Can I get a witness out there? And if we got to the church house and act like we didn't want to go in, Mama would catch me in the collar and she'd drug. Mama and Daddy drug us to church house. I wish I had a witness out there and had planted it in my heart. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, Lord, it's in my heart. Many times we didn't get paid, y'all, but I kept on singing anyway because I had it in my heart. Can I get a one a witness? Can I get a one a witness? Deep down in my heart, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, well, wait a minute, I'm not through yet. Y'all act like y'all don't know what we're doing up here. You got it?
It's in my heart.
Oh, yeah.
It's in my heart.
somebody asked me just the other day, said, "Harlan, how can you shake a person's hand and you know they don't like you?" I told him, the reason I do it is in my heart. I got a phone call not too long ago. Somebody said, "Harlan, how can you leave your family and go sing all the time?" I told him, "I love my family.
Oh yeah,
I love my family.
Yes I do.
I love my family.
Oh my.
But the reason I'm doing
it,
there's a reason I'm doing it,
there's a reason you don't do it,
'cause it's in my heart. I got to love my enemies.
Yes, yes.
I got to love my friends.
And
whenever you see me, I'll be serving the Lord.
Welcome to Eagles in Flight Hour. Amen. I'm Apostle Marcus Dupree, and this is Prophet Selena Dupree. And we thank God for each and every one of you who's on the line tonight. Amen. We're going to start with a word of prayer. We're going to get right into the word of God. We thank God for just being in the presence of the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We give you praise, honor, Lord. This is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And we thank you for this opportunity, the time to come to share the gospel, break the bread of a life with your people tonight, Lord. We thank you. We call it a privilege and honor to be before them, Lord God. And we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, even as we go forth and do what you've called us to do tonight, Lord. We should do with great joy in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we just thank you as we stand strong tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise, glory, and honor. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Glory to God. We want to ask you to turn with us tonight to 1 Peter chapter 6. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who have called us into the eternal glory of by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen, and settle you. Amen. The last verse is to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We want to talk to you tonight about strategic warfare. What is strategic warfare? Well, warfare, let's start with warfare itself. Warfare is activity that is done as part of a struggle between competing groups, companies, or opposing sides. A struggle between competitive entities, military operations between enemies, activities designed to weaken opposition or destroy one another. Military fighting in a war. What is strategic? Strategic is of or relating to a general plan that is created to achieve a goal in war, usually over a long period of time. Useful or important in achieving a plan or strategy. Then we also have necessary to a tool or important in the initiation, conduct, or completion of a strategy or of a plan. Last one is designed or trained to strike an enemy at the sources or military, economic, or political power. Amen. So we see here is a plan devised to get close to the enemy. The plan really comes down to coming up with the best opportunity to make the best shot. When you really think about it, that's why I use strategy. You want to use the least amount of power, but have the most effect, or the least amount of opportunities, but get great effect with whatever times you do hit. If someone's in battle or war, they're trying to get the closest they can to get the best shot they can with the least chance of missing. That's strategy. You're trying to make sure everything, whatever chance you have to attack or release, that it's going to, you will make it worth it. You will get the best opportunity out of every time you have to shoot or attack, whatever case it be. Now, so strategic warfare is very important in the Christian walk, because the enemy, as we see here, let's look back at that verse. And just in case for anyone who needs to call on, who's looking for a computer or listening for a computer, or want to call and ask a question or comment, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get into the question box. Amen. Okay. We have here, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that you may be exalted. He may exalt you in due time. Let's start there first. Being humble is a very important thing when it pertains to the kingdom, being in the kingdom of God. And see, understand, when you allow pride to operate in your life, you are now giving the enemy grounds against you. Pride works against you in the body of Christ as a Christian. Pride works against you. Especially the kind of pride, that kind of pride, it works against you, because you cannot have a big head then expect to be on top of your game and expect God to work on your behalf. You have to humble yourself. It's a very dangerous place for a Christian to be prideful. It sets you up for a fall. Pride comes before a fall or before destruction. So amen. So we've got to make sure that we are not walking in that kind of conditioned pride.
When we look at the scripture, we also see the word here says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. If you think about wartime, when you are in war, you don't stand up and say, look at me, enemy, I'm over here. No, there is a physical type humbling that takes place. Warriors are ducking. They keep themselves low because they don't want the enemy to detect where they are when
yes.
they're trying to sneak into their camp and into their territory. They keep themselves at a lower standard. And this is everybody's in war, from the private first class until the captain, to the general. They all are ducking. It doesn't matter what their ranking is. In war, they are trying to keep themselves undetected by the enemy so that they're able to ambush or go into the enemy's camp and destroy the enemy first. If the general says, well, I'm a general, I shouldn't have to crawl on the ground, and he stands up, he endangers the entire camp. So even in his title as being the head over the whole army, he is bringing himself at a lower position so that he's able to strategically attack the enemy without being detected. And that's the comparison in the natural to that prideful state. Sometimes because we hold a position, or we think we are in a place in God that we're not, we allow the pride of life to overtake us. And instead of humbling ourselves, being lower, continuously being on our knees, continuously searching in the scripture and our head in the word of God, instead of doing that, we hold our head up and we stand up and we feel as if we got it. We know this. We don't need to pray about this situation because we got this situation. We don't need to seek God's face on this because we've seen this before, and we can take care and we can handle it ourselves. And that is a prideful attitude that will allow the enemy to quickly detect where you are, who you are, your location in the spirit. And what he does is he uses your prideful attitude and causes a boomerang, so to speak, effect, because the very thing that you are prideful about, the very thing that you have a haughty spirit about, is the very thing that he uses towards you to cause you to self-destruct.
You keep it in mind with the very key things that she was just saying here, being humble, because, you know, the enemy cannot hit what he can't see. So if you're humble and you allow yourself to be hidden, the Word of God tells us that we're hidden in Christ. If we are hidden in Christ, then we shouldn't be seen. If we are hidden in Christ, it shouldn't be about me. It shouldn't be, you know, about you. We shouldn't be boastful about ourselves. See, when we are hidden in Christ, he puts us in a safe place under his watch, under his care. Psalm 91 tells us, verse 1, he that dwells in a secret place. See, are you dwelling in that secret place? If you are dwelling in that secret place, you are high, you are hidden in that secret place, under that special place. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, live, stay, dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. See, and when we allow, we get too big to be hidden, because, you know, we feel we got this. That's when we put ourselves in danger, because now you say, okay, I got this. You know, that's for someone else. I don't need that. Yeah, it's my time. I need to be seen now. And so when you do that, now you put yourself in danger for all kind of stuff to happen to you. But see, that's very important. So we have to understand we need to be humble in our approach to God, and even just in how we carry our lives every day. Because if we put ourselves, we're supposed to be displaying Christ, the love of Christ. But if we're not careful, we're displaying ourselves, then we're putting ourselves in danger. God said, there should be no other God before him. When you begin to exalt yourself, lift yourself up, you become your own God. And you put yourself in danger for the wrath of God. Amen. So as we go further, casting all of your care upon him. For, amen. We have a caller.
Yes. Hello?
Yes. Hello?
Hi. I was calling in for prayer. I had had you guys pray with me a few weeks ago regarding jobs. I had two interviews last week, and I just want you to pray for a favor that an offer may come through this week for the job, as well as housing doors to open up for me, in Jesus' name.
Okay. Amen. So you say you have two interviews this
week? Yeah, I had one last week, had two last week for CSEP and another school called Creekside. And I also have a possible ability for teaching at an adjunct position at Trinity Washington University. Just want to pray for the doors to open up for me on this week.
Okay. All right. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. We thank you as we stand with our sister in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your hand moving upon her right now in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Glory. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you for moving on her behalf right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. There is nothing too hard for you, Lord God, and we thank you as you lead her, guide her, order her steps in your word.
Thank
you, Lord God, for giving her strategy as well. And we thank you right now for the opportunities, Lord God, that you will open up to her, put her in a position to pick, choose, and refuse. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord God, that the favor of the Lord is upon her. In the name of Jesus, we thank you right now for doors opening which no man can close. And we thank you right now. It, Lord God, even there's some things that she lost along the way that the enemy has been laughing about her not having anymore. But God, I thank you for this as a season of restoration. But not only are you going to do it again, but you're going to do it even better this time. And I thank you right now for doing it in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, we laugh at you, see. Just when you thought you got over on her, actually you've been set up. You got the old stuff. God got some new stuff for her. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you right now for the opportunity, even with this job. job. Lord God, that job should be the job of her choice and her desire. In Jesus' name, you said you delight yourselves in you. You shall give us desires of our hearts. So we thank you right now for working on her behalf. In the name of Jesus, according to her faith, be it unto her. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, thank you for moving right now by your spirit and your might. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, thank you for working on every situation that's come before this week. Every opportunity, give her wisdom. Thank you for speaking, giving to her clarity and direction in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that she will move according to your spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen. Glory to God. And we bind every opposition that may desire to come after you. In Jesus' name, we render powerless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory
thank
to God.
You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank
God bless you. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you.
And yes, do tell us a report, amen. Are you looking to hear a report?
I do, too. I will let you know. Thank you. When you guys back on again. Thank you.
Okay. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, glory to God. We're going to start back at verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And this is another, and this, these will be some points of strategical points that we were going to give, and I think one was definitely being humble, but being humble, the enemy cannot hit what he can't see. That's one. And once again, the number to call in for those who need to call, who's called for listening to the computer, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the question box. Amen. But once again, one of the points were about, you know, about being humble, and the enemy cannot hit what he can't see. When you are hidden in Christ, we are hidden in Christ. When you are hidden in Christ, you're covered, you're protected, because it's not you who the enemy was going to see. He's going to see Christ. Amen. So and then the second thing is here, the third thing, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. You in this warfare, you will learn that you cannot carry. Even any war veterans or anyone who's in the military, when they're going out to war, the whole thing is carry less stuff as possible. First of all, to do, you have the bare necessity. You won't have just the bare things that you need. You don't want to have a whole bunch. You don't want to be carrying a lampshade in the back of your backpack. You don't need all that. You know what I'm saying? You want to carry the least amount of things, the most important things that's going to help you on your quest wherever you're going. Well, the same way here. Sometimes we tend to have baggage, and we have to be careful. This is a war. This is a strategy against us if we're not careful. You're carrying baggage, carrying hurt, carrying pain, carrying these different cares, see, different cares of life that you should have already released or you should have given to the Lord. Sometimes we get caught holding on to stuff that we should let go a long time ago. And sometimes we try to be our own God by trying to hold on to our problems, fix our problems by ourselves. And God said, I want you to cast your cares upon me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Because what's going to happen, the enemy is going to allow, he sees you bombarded with trying to do it yourself, and he's going to come at you all kind of ways, and you don't have nothing to stand on. Because you're swamped with stuff. You're trying to be the deliverer. You're trying to be the burden bearer. You're trying to be everything, and God's like, you're not. You're not even qualified to be so. But sometimes the enemy can trick us to make us think that we can handle, or I can handle this, and you got to tell nobody that, you don't tell the pastor, don't pray about this, you got this. You know, the enemy can try and set us up for a fall, and we have to be careful with that. Amen.
In this scripture, it's also pointing out just basically that your dependency is not on yourself. We have a lot of independent attitude in the body of Christ, but that's really not how God has made us as people. He's made us to have a dependency on each other and on him. And just like Apostle Mark is not only in a regular military war, do you not want to have extra baggage, but you are dependent upon your other fellow warriors. They don't go to war by themselves and try to defeat the enemy. They're dependent upon all of those other men and women that were trained just like them to follow through. And when one of them gets hurt, especially if they're still alive, the one that's injured, their dependency is, I'm hoping that my fellow warriors will not leave me out here to die, but they will pick me up and carry me back to a safe place. It's all a dependency upon one another in the body of Christ. We have to remember that our dependency is not upon ourselves, but we depend on the Holy Spirit. We depend on God's ability, and anything and everything that we do, anything that we go through, any challenge that we face, we have to remember to always call upon the name of Jesus, because where your mind can't get it, where your body can't defeat it, where you just emotionally can't handle it, where you're financially not there with it, the Holy Ghost is all of that. God is all of that and then some. You know, so we have to remember that we have to allow the Holy Spirit to be the big person. You know, it's easy to take on things when we think we know how to handle them. But what about whether we know how to handle them or not, allowing the Holy Spirit to come in? Because people are unpredictable. And you can go into a situation that has a similar scenario as a time before, and the outcome be totally different because one or two little factors changed. Because one or two little things, it wasn't like how it was before, it changed. And now it throws you all off course because you had this whole thing planned out based on how it happened before. Whereas if you had invited the Holy Spirit in that situation, the Holy Spirit knew that it wasn't going to be the same situation. The Holy Spirit knew that something different was going to happen, and he will lead you and guide you based on the current status of what's going on. He's not going to lead you and guide you in a situation based on past information or old information or past data. He's going to lead you and guide you based on the current status of things, and we as individuals don't always know the ins and outs of situations and things that have changed and have happened, but the Holy Spirit does. And when we take those burdens and when we take those cares and say, here you go, I'm not going to take this, I'm not going to lead this thing, I'm going to allow you to take over, Holy Spirit, show me what to do in this situation. And I know it looks similar, but this is a different day and this is a different time, and I'm dealing with a different situation altogether, and you know the current status. So Holy Spirit, you come in and show me what to do. I cast all these cares upon you. You take the burden because you can carry it better than I can. And when you do that and allow yourself to be free of the load, of the weight of the situation, the Holy Spirit is able to come in and guide you and lead you properly. The Holy Spirit is able to come in and resolve that thing better than you could have in your small mind, because compared to God, the mind of Christ, our mind, our physical mind, is small. And so this is part of that strategic move, is allowing your total dependency. When you cast your care on God, you are relinquishing yourself of being responsible for that thing. You are allowing all of your dependency to be on Christ to resolve that situation.
Amen. Amen. That's the strategy. That's the strategical part of that. So we have to be careful with that. And even for us, you know, him, you know, making, having us to think that, you know, we don't have to ask for help. We good. You got it. See, as long as you have it, this is going to be your problem. But when you actually decide to give it over to God and really allow God to come in, now God can get involved. See, God's not going to, you know, he's not going to just barge his way in. You have to invite him in that situation. Some of you who are fighting these battles by yourself or trying to carry your own weight, stop trying to do that. Let God step in. Let wisdom come in and help you out in this matter. Okay, verse 8 says, be sober. Oh, gosh, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So, amen. Here we see is a very key thing here. He says, be sober. You know, some of you know how to be drunk. You know what I'm saying? You drunk, you all intoxicated, and in this case here, you all full of your own self to where you're not even thinking the way you need to think of. Amen. The word sober means not to be drunk, having or showing a very serious attitude or quality. It also means to sparing in the use of food or drink, not addicted to or intoxicating drink, not drunk, marked by sedated, gravely or earnestly, thoughtful character, demeanor. And we also have marked by temperance, moderation, or seriousness, showing no excessive or extreme qualities of fancy, emotion, or prejudice. That's very good. That's the one right there. I like that one. Showing no excess or extreme qualities of being fancy, emotion, or prejudice. Yeah, you know, I got some people who are very flamboyant, just really always over the top. Like over the top. Always trying to do something to get attention on them, and they can exaggerate so much. It's really just make things more than what it is. Very dramatic, you know, in the attitude. Instead of just calmly answer a question, they gotta be loud so everybody can hear them. And you know, and just in sometimes in life situations, people just can be so over the top to where they don't realize they make themselves out of target. And this is with the enemy. So strategy, we're talking about being smart, being using strategy. Don't try to be seen. You know, a lot of times the enemy wants you to make all the noise and get all the attention on you. Yeah, see, now that's a guy, I don't have nothing to do with that, because God's like, well, since you want the attention, you go ahead and get the attention. If that's what you want, you go ahead and do it. But I'm not trying to promote you. God's trying to promote himself, his word, him and his word. So here it is, you put yourself out there. Okay, the word vigilant means alertly watchful, especially to avoid danger. It means your head's up. You're paying attention. So you're paying attention to what's going on. You're alert. You're up. You're sober. You're vigilant. You're attentive to what's going on. You're not just out there and trying to be indulged in everything and not being careful to the presence of God. But you're mindful of the fact that is you're carefully noticing problems or signs of danger. You're not blind to what's going on around you. That's another thing too. Being alert, you know, as far as being vigilant, being alert to what's going on. You're not sleeping in a wake up world. You know, you're alert. You know what's going on. Certain things happen to catch your attention. You know. Okay, that activity is something else. Well, you know, for instance, if I go to a place or location or someone's home, and I see some activity going on that reminds me of something that I knew years ago, I now know and alert. Okay, you know what? I need to watch this area here because this could be a trouble area because of some activities going on that I recognize that's not good. That's not what is legal. It's not legal. And if you be vigilant, you actually see some things going on, you'll be able to assess the area, assess what's going on, and make a good conscious decision. So you know what? I need to get out of here quickly just because what's ever going on. So, yes, and you being alert and know what's going on around you, and that's very important. Hey, man, you don't want to have a bunch of things going on around you, and you're missing all the signs of what's going on. Different things happen. You see some stuff happening. Then if you're not on it, you set yourself for trouble. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Did you ever seen a lion in action whenever he's going to try to creep up on a prey? As big as he is, he's creeping low. And he's walking real slow, trying to reach the right moment, getting close enough. Just like we were saying, with strategy, even the enemy use strategy, try to get in real close. He'll watch you off a distance. And this is why, as Christians, we got to watch what we do, watch what we say, watch how we live. Because the enemy will sit there and watch you for months, maybe even a few years, just to wait for the right moment to creep up on you and get you. And if we're not properly in the right pace, you know, see, that's another thing, too. He waits, and because if you are one who likes to go in and out of the church, he's definitely believe he's watching you. He's got your number a couple of times. He knows what gets your attention, what gets you out of the place with God. He is watching you, and he's trying to catch you at the right time, just when you cross over that line, and he gets you out of the will. Once he see you out of the will, he's going to try to snatch you right then and there. This is why we have to be mindful and careful. This is strategic warfare we're talking about. See, you have to, not only you are watching, he is watching the board too. He's watching your activities. He's watching how many times you pray a week. He's watching how many times you don't pray a week. He watches the times you go run to God, or he's watching the times that you don't run to him. Only when things get crazy, that's when you run to God. It's not like an everyday thing that you do, but he sees that if you come to God every now and then, well, most likely I can attack her, and she won't see that until she gets fed up and tired. Well, by that time, I communicated half her house. See, enemy is shrewd. He'll sit there and watch it. Amen. He will sit there right there and watch it. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. See, he's on the move. He's just not in one place. He's on the move. He's seeking. He's looking for someone to devour. Seeking whom he may devour. Okay, so here it is, verse 9. Who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother that are in the world. So here we see, as he's showing this here to us, that you're not the only one going through these challenges. You're not the only one being tested. You're not the only one being potted on. The enemy he's trying to find someone who he may devour, someone who he can attack. Amen. So that's why we have to be careful of what we do, what kind of activities we allow ourselves to get involved in.
I just want to go back a little bit to verse 9 where it says, verse 8 where it says, be sober and be vigilant. In the regular army, it's really dangerous when a soldier gets intoxicated or a soldier gets the attitude of, you know, they really don't want to do, they don't want to fight anymore, they don't want to be a part anymore because they bring danger to the entire army. A drunk soldier doesn't speak out of his in his right mind. And if the enemy ever is able to somehow get able to speak to a soldier that's intoxicated, that soldier is at risk for just revealing everything, every plan and every strategy that the army is making. That soldier can possibly reveal it because when someone is intoxicated, they're not thinking in their right mind. And when a soldier is not careful, noticing problems or signs or have an alert or watchful attitude, when they've lost interest in a war, it's dangerous because when they should be saying, I see the enemy on the other side, alert and alerting everyone else and warning the people in the army, they won't say anything. And that, too, the enemy can come in and attack. And the enemy also loves when they can find a soldier that just wanders off by themselves. That's why they tell them when they leave camp, never leave without their weapon. And they really don't want you to leave by yourself. Because if the enemy ever catches you without your weapon, they can get you. If the enemy ever sees you by yourself, it's easy to capture you. And so they never want a soldier to leave the camp without their weapon, no matter what, even if it's going to the restroom. They don't want them to leave without their weapon. They don't want them to leave guarded. And so just like in the natural army, when we are not sober, we don't say the right things. We don't speak the right way. Things that God has told us in secret, we blurt it out to the wrong people. When we're not being alert and watchful, the enemy will see, and we've seen it countless times in the body of Christ where we see a sister or brother maybe dating someone, and they see the signs that this is not the right person. This person, all the signs are pointing to danger. Don't marry. Danger. This is not the person that you should be connecting to. Danger. Stop. And they see the signs, but because they're not in their right mind, they're whatever, love struck, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, or this person is painting such a great and wonderful picture that you're not looking through the eyes of the spiritual realm, you're looking through the eyes of the flesh, and how long you haven't been married, and how long you've been waiting, and it took such a long time for him to get here, but he is not the one. But instead of following the alert signals, there are flashes of light going off everywhere, green, blue, purple, The green is not a flash of light of keep going and have a relationship. The green is also, in this instance, stop, like all the red signs and the yellow signs. And you got flashes of light, all different colors of the rainbow, flashing, telling you to stop. Don't go in this direction. You got people, friends, family, neighbors, not people that are hating because this is the right spiritual hookup. No, you got people that see the signs, and they're telling you, this is not a good character that we see in this person, in this young man or in this young woman. But because of you not being sober enough in the spirit, instead of stopping to what you, instead of stopping and hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, you're actually, you continue to go full force forward. I mean, you are going just going forward like a train, and you end up marrying this person. And from the day that you're married, all hell is breaking loose in your marriage because you decided to ignore all the signs. You decided to ignore all the warning. You decided to ignore all the alertness. You weren't being sober. You weren't being vigilant. And as a result, the enemy stayed low, like that lion does. And he was real quiet. And those tendencies that they have, they kept them real real, like, low. You didn't see it. You didn't see the signs. Every now and then, people saw that line, and they would see that those tendencies, and they would see those characters come out in subtle ways, but you just not paying attention. And they just kept crawling like that line does until they married you, and then they pounced on you and grabbed your throat like the enemy will do as a roaring lion because he's looking for someone to pounce on. And then at that point he has you, and now you're in a situation where you're crawling and trying to figure out how to get out and how to deal with it. And it's only because you ignore the signs. Women and men of God, don't ignore the signals. Don't ignore the signs. In this strategical warfare, that's another strategy. You pay attention, you stay sober, and you pay attention to the alert signs. You pay attention to them. You don't ignore them. Sometimes they will come like bells and whistles, and other times they will come very silently. They will come very low. It doesn't even seem like you can barely hear it, but it is there, and you need to pay attention.
Amen. Amen. That's very important. Amen. I want to look at a couple of quick examples of some of this we're talking about. Now, let's look at Job chapter 1. Let's look at verse 6. It says, now there was a day when sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence thou comest? Whence comest thou? Excuse me. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, and that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, and eschewed evil. So here we see where the enemy actually is going before the Lord, goes before the Lord, and something happens that's not even, it was kind of mind-boggling how it happens, but he's actually saying, have you considered my servant Job? He actually selects you to be challenged. Some people are, and some people is not the case, but sometimes, we look at challenges and be like, oh, man, the devil just bothered me, and I don't understand this here. Why I'm going through this? Why not somebody else? Cousin JoJo, he could have gone through this here instead of me. And why not? God considered you for a reason. Because first of all, God knew you can win. God would not consider you difficult, be challenged in a situation, unless he knew you was going to win. He knows where you stand. He knows your weakness. He knows your strength. He knows that you have the ability to do it. Now, do you stick in the fight and win? Well, that's up to you. You could say, you know what? I'm just tired of fighting. I'm going to quit. But even though God's perfect plan says that you're able to stand, his intentions, everything he's saying, he's pointing to the fact that you're able to do it. But you chose not to follow through what God has said. So, amen. So he goes on. He said, then you consider him my servant Job. That, verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for nothing? Has not thou made him made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. So we see here that even Satan acknowledges the hedge of protection that surrounds you. He knows really without God he can't do anything. And so even with that, understand this. The enemy can huff and puff and all he wants, try and blow your house down, but without God allowing him to attack you, he can't. So especially walking around, you know, so God, you know, especially we're talking about the good, we're talking about if you're walking around doing what you're supposed to do, because Job was doing right. Job actually was praying for his children and receiving for his children just in case they sinned. So Job wasn't doing something that actually caused the thing to happen. So even that, as we trust and believe, and just know that God is, God knows what's going on. Even in the midst of your warfare, God knows what's going on. He knows where to find you. There's nothing that you can do to get out of his grips on that line. He knows where you are. He can find you. Amen. And so he knows what he has potentially in you that he wants to get out. Amen. So being sober, you know, even in a situation like that, you have to be sober-minded, because sometimes it can be, you know, so you go through something, and if you're not careful, you can begin to blame God for stuff. And just, if God don't like me, and God this and that, this and that, you got to be careful to paint the picture you paint of God. That number to call is, once again, 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, and you first one to get in the cue box. And then we want to go down to verse 13. Okay, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And I think this was a birthday celebration. And there came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were plowing in the donkeys for feeding beside them, and the sea bears fell upon them and took them, yea, that they had slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell you. Then he goes on and said, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, and have burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell you. While he was yet speaking, I mean he's still yet speaking, my Lord, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out their three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away, yea, the slain of the servants and with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell you. While he was yet speaking, you got to think how much more he can say. Jeez. Therefore, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they're all dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the earth, and put upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. That is a lot that he had to embrace. That's a lot that he had to take in. Even with the strategic war, you know, in warfare, you have to be able to, God knows how much you can handle. First of all, let's start there. God knows how much you can handle. He knows how much you can deal with. And so even with that, he knows that you have the potential to do exactly what he said you for you to do. He knows whatever comes your way, you can handle it. Sometimes we may not even believe it, or we may just not even want to believe it, because the fact of the matter is, when you look at all the sayings that came to him, all this information all around the same time, his mind was probably like, I haven't even got over the last thing yet. Go for something else. And so when it came down, after all was said and done, his kids become victims of this thing. And I'm pretty sure that was a hard pill to swallow. But I just want to tell you, just because, you know, sometimes we look at things, we're going through it, and we don't understand, why is it, God, that I'm going through this thing? Why? I don't. It doesn't make sense. Sometimes we might not get the why. We might not get the answer for the why. But you have to understand this. If God loves you, and he said, he knows that those things towards you, said the Lord, those speaks not of evil, but to give you an expected end. And if he wish above all these prosper and health, even as your soul prosper, then he wants you to have good. He really does. Sometimes he allows some challenges to come to prove out some things in our lives. Amen. So in this case here, he was seen where the enemy has come in, even though he didn't, he said that the Lord give, the Lord take it away. Well, he didn't have full knowledge of what Satan was doing or whatever at this time. But the fact of the matter is, he did acknowledge the fact that, you know, I can't do nothing without God. I mean, you know, he realizes how much he needs God and how important it is. So that's why even in our warfare, no matter what we go through, remember this. As part of strategic warfare, remember, first of all, this thing did not surprise God. It did not surprise God. That's the next point. This, whatever you're going through, no matter what you're going through or went through, what you're facing right now, God was not surprised. And the second thing is, no matter what comes, you know, God also allows Satan to attack you. So he already knows that you have the ability. I mean, it's not, well, oh, when we talk about far as in a situation like this, as far as him being upright, I just want to make sure I make it clear that, you know, God knows what's going on. He's not surprised to God. But he allowed him to be attacked. Amen. And he knows that he has the potential to stand through this thing and win. Amen. And so even through no matter what comes, what Job did at the end was very strategical. And they have a man rending his mantle or clothes, tearing his clothes, was a sign of grief, you know, during those times. And he shaved his head, he fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Now, worship is another strategical move that we can make. When you're faced with a lot of opposition or you're going through something, find yourself in worship. Worship can help you to deal with the stresses of life, can deal with the pressures of life, can help deal with those things that's unexpected to deal with. So many times I've done that and had to learn. You just go in worship, allow God to help me to keep my head together, because sometimes, I tell you, you'll be wanting to just flesh out. But, you know, it's not going to be beneficial for you to do that. You feel it in your flesh, but that's where the discipline of the word comes in. You begin to understand, you know what, all I have to do is put my trust in the word, in the Lord, and in the word. It's going to take time, and I'm just going to have to trust him. It may not make sense, but amen. That won't be the first or last time. Amen. So, amen. So as we see that, we understand that God is in total control, and God has moved on his behalf. And he says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Lord, the Lord, sorry, I lost the smart. And naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Because sometimes when situations come, we can begin to talk before we think and react and begin to say a lot of things, and we later on we think, oh gosh, I shouldn't have said that. And so these are the times when you're going through, that's the times that you need to be able to speak up, speak the right things, say the right things, declare the right things, decree the right things. And, you know, in spite of, don't speak or don't say according to whatever the situation is, according to the facts of your problems that you're facing. You speak the truth of God's word according to what you desire to see happen. Amen. Speak as the Spirit of the Lord leads you. And when you do that, you begin to see the changes that God is bringing forth in your life. Amen. So, amen, we're going to stop there right now. And And we thank God we come back on hopefully next week, or say we come back and pick up from there. Amen. But as you see, just some things that Job went through here, he had to deal with it constructively. He had to deal with it the best way he could and keep his head. I'm telling you, that's a lot he endured in that first chapter there. So, amen. Be encouraged. Know that the Lord is with you and he is preparing you while you are in strategic warfare. Because if we look at it, the enemy will try any threat, any kind of opposition towards you. And that's why you have to be careful. Because when he tries to bring opposition against you, you have to know how to handle it with a sober mind and being vigilant, you know, and not allowing the enemy to come in and slip up. You know, so you have to be very careful in those times when you're going through. Those are the times when most of you need to watch for the enemy. He likes to come in when you're vulnerable or distracted. Amen. All right. Glory to God. Anyone else who need to call in? 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Amen. Press 1 to the end of question marks. So, amen. So we thank God for what he's doing and how he's doing it. Amen. We just thank God for his presence and his power in our lives. As we continue to walk forth and do the things that the Lord has called us to do, we thank the Lord for his presence being upon us tonight. Amen. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we give you praise, honor, and glory. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunities you've given to us to minister your words and in Jesus' name. And we also thank you for the hope that's being released now in this line. Lord God, that people should be encouraged because of the word. And we thank you, Lord God, that you'll continue to lift up your name. That you'll be faithful. Lord, you reward man for faithfulness. And so we thank you because of that, Lord, that they are in your sight, Lord God, at all times. And so, Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for helping us to deal with strategic warfare. Help us be mindful of some things. Help us watch some things in action and in motion that we would not get caught by surprise. So, Father, we thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, once again, thank you for joining us on the line this week here. Amen. Join us on, if you can, at Eagles Wings International Ministries. Once again, we're the Church Without Walls. And that number is on Tuesday night, 7:00. It'll be, the number is 843-619-0410. 843-619-0410. Amen. So that's the line for that number. We also meet 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Sundays at that same number. You feel free to come join us, fellowship with us, amen, and see what God is doing. Amen. And so once again, I thank Prophet Dupree for joining me tonight, amen, for her awesome help. Amen. She's been a blessing to us. And we also thank the Lord for each and every one of you for showing up. Amen. So once again, we thank God for each and every one of you, for all that you do. Have an awesome week this weekend. Walk in the liberty is of his presence and his power in your life. Truly, he's upon you. Amen. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We give you praise, glory, and honor for who you are, Lord. Perform your word to each and every individual that's on this line, under the sound of my voice. We bind up the hands of retaliation that's upon them, that they may try to come upon them. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the freedom of the Spirit that's in operation. So, Father, we thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. You have a wonderful night. Join us again on next week. Amen. Yeah. All right.
I'm a conqueror.
I'm a conqueror.
I know. conquer the enemy. He wrote in my destiny that my name is
victory.
He said that I've overcome. I know I've already won. He wrote in my
destiny
that my name is
victory.
I know, Ted.
I know who I am.
God wrote it in his plan.
God wrote it in his plan.
For me.
For me.
Come on, everybody, say it.
My name is Victory.
Y'all got it all over the building. Now clap your hands and say it with us. Everybody say, oh.
My name is
it's Victory.
Victory.